All right, let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. Do the introduction of members. Online, we, looks like we have John and Ryan and Eddie. Anyone else? I think that's it. All right. Oh, Erica. All right, Erica just popped on there. All right. Joel, you can start us off.
Joel Chavez, representing Benton County.
Electric by County. Aaron Petty, Franklin County.
Chad Michael, Benton County.
Cindy Saunders, Benton County.
BJ Olson, Franklin County.
Matt Rasmussen, Benton County Commissioner's Office.
Sorry.
Carla Brock, Public Health.
Brian Ace, Benton County.
Michelle Gerber, Recovery Coalition.
Jason Bliss, Benton County.
Troy Clark, Benton County.
Angie Manarola, Franklin County.
Mike Gonzalez, Franklin County Commissioner's Office.
Matt Clark, Benton County Sheriff's Office.
All right. So you should have received the minutes from our April 11th meeting. Any question, comments, or changes?
Motion to accept the minutes as published.
Second.
Moved in second. Any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. So opportunity for public comment. There's two times where we have public comments at the beginning of our business and at the end. Is there anybody that would like to address the committee? All right, moving on to discussion items. The first item is the Columbia Valley Center for Recovery, and Matt is going to give us an update.
So hopefully everybody got a copy of the timeline that Nicole produced. So she did a great job.
Thank you, Nicole.
So I know Brian had been at, and a few others had been asking to kind of start getting an idea of where we are for getting some of the milestones completed. And so this was put together based on some information we got from Boughton Construction and their team. Right now we are in the validation phase. So that's supposed to wrap up next week. May 15th is their deliverable for that. That deliverable will include a program layout, so it won't be a floor plan per se, but they'll have kind of bubbled areas where we will, we use those spaces for those programs, but it doesn't represent what the actual configuration would look like. So we'll see that on the 15th of May. They give us a couple of weeks to review that, get questions back to them, make some adjustments, and then they will finalize that validation report at the 1st of June. And once that's finalized and delivered to the county, that's when we start our preliminary design phase. That runs through August, and then they will probably start construction sometime in that June to August window. They'll start pulling permits and start demolition and replacement of some of the electrical and mechanical systems. And so then it just continues to roll because it's design build. There's design progressing at the same time of construction. Those things go until about the end of October. That's when they believe they'll be done with the design piece. And then it's just construction from then on out until around December of 2025 when it's expected to be completed. So to tie into that, because I know people were wanting to know when we'll have a better handle on the cost of operating the facility. And so one of the things that we need to have in order to finalize with comprehensive on the staffing model so that we can get an idea of the cost is the room layout. So we expect to have that with the preliminary design. We would be in a position of, yeah, we're pretty confident that this is what it's going to look like. There may be a few minor tweaks. That's when we'd be working with comprehensive to finalize that contract, is after we get that preliminary design completed in August. And then that, I mean, we're all very good. I would expect that might take 2 to 3 months to get completed. And then we would have that. That would give us that solid number that people are looking for as far as how much we think this would cost so that we can start looking at what do we do with the other funds that we have. So.
And with that program design that they're going to deliver on, sounds like by maybe December of 24, it sounds like 2 or 3 months after October. That'll both be on the expense side as well as the revenue side, so they'll be able to show the delta operationally.
Yeah, I'm sure we can get the estimates. They should be able to estimate about how many, you know, it depends.
Sure.
It's going to be an estimate because it's who has Medicare, who qualifies, those kind of things. But we definitely, I'm sure,
Courtney could probably speak to it better than I can, but I'm certain that you guys have a rough idea of the percentage of people who come in who qualify for Medicare and don't. It's not going to be an exact number, but.
Yeah, Medicaid in particular, and then we would look at, you know, are we estimating based on capacity, if we're 100% capacity?
Right.
It's X, if we're at 75% capacity, Y. Yeah, we can reference our current operations.
So hopefully that gives everybody a little bit of help, and we'll, I'm going to put something like this up on the website. Maybe not this graphic, but I'd like to have a kind of a "we are here" timeline for the project so that people can just look and see. Also, one other note to make is on around the end of June, and you see that fit flag called the GMP value. So that's known as the guaranteed maximum price. So we should be around June. They should give us, we'll have a floor plan and here's what we're building, and it won't cost more than this. And so that'll give us the, we know we won't pay more than that, and we know the minimum of what we're going to get. And then as we go from there, if things cost less, we get all the invoices, we get all the costs, labor, everything. They share everything like that with us. And if things cost less than they expected, we get those dollars back into the project, and we can use those to get other things. So we could add other rooms or do shifts in the design, add better, we call them betterments. So you got your baseline. If it costs less than we expect, we get those dollars back for betterments. Or if we identify additional funds that we could put into the project, you can buy some additional stuff there too. So, but that around the end of June, we should have that final cost estimate finished. And so that also helped, because we are going to have to pull some of the revenue that's come in from that 1/10 of 1% tax to make up the difference between what this is going to cost and what we have in grant funds. So, yeah. Any questions? Oh, I have one. We met with, or we didn't meet with, but we prepared a proposal to LifePoint Health, and Lee, thank you for your help on that. We sent it over to them, essentially offering a first right of refusal is what we had offered, is that we would, anybody that came into our facility, we would contact Lord's Counseling and say, hey, we have this person here. Do you want to have them in your facility? And if they said yes, then we would arrange a way to transport. If they said no, then they could stay in our facility in the crisis stabilization without the time restriction. And so they declined that about 2 weeks ago. They said they did not want to do that. We're not interested in changing the language. So I think we're going to meet again with the local representatives, try to get a little more insight as to why that is, and see if there's any other avenues to work out a situation where we're not subject to that 72-hour limitation. I think we've met with them, and they've indicated that they aren't interested in having a situation where someone would have to be excused or dismissed from the facility, even though they needed continued care. But I don't know how that works with a 72-hour restriction. So we're going to continue on as we have. And I know we've talked with Comprehensive about how we can find ways to work around that, and we'll keep doing that. So that is still a barrier, but we're going to work on it.
Now, in what you just said, you're only referring to mental health patients, right?
Only within the crisis stabilization unit. So, yeah. That they, as far as the detox, the ENT for the detox and the residential inpatient, it does not apply to them. So it's only for that crisis stabilization unit, which is primarily.
Matt, can you remind me of what's going on with the Welch's Grape Food Factory? I've gotten several rumors and miscommunication. People think it's that you guys were using it, we're not using it. So I don't know. I'll be honest, I'm ignorant on it. So can you give us an update on that?
So right now, as of now, we are not going to be using that as part of this phase of the project, because the cost to bring that up was significantly more than we expected it to be. And so the team has proposed that if we go this route, that putting everything in one, it's about a $6.5 million delta. And so that's, I mean, we're struggling to come up with enough money to pay for what we have. Adding $6.5 million would be impossible.
so Benton County put an offer with a contingency, right? So you guys don't have any ownership stake in it.
No, we own the building.
So you guys do own the building, and maybe that's where the confusion for people is coming in, is that they think, you know, since you own it. So anyway, that clears it up.
So we haven't decided what we're gonna do with that. We actually have, we're working with the Council of Governments. So they have a program that they come in and will evaluate those facilities for potential reuses. So they're working on that right now to give us options as far as what could we do with that building, including using it for different behavioral health programs. So we're working through that with them to see what we should be doing with that facility. But right now, we made the decision it's more cost effective to get the project delivered, to go all in one building.
So thank you.
Matt, back to the conversation with LifePoint. Is there any, next steps would be again to have a conversation with local partners. Is there anything that the committee or community partners can do to support that conversation or give voice to concerns with their stake on it? I know they're national, so maybe they don't care, but.
I mean, I don't think it hurts to, I mean, especially if people have relationships with those, with the CEOs at either location. David up at Trios, he's the North or the regional market director, so he's kind of over both. And then you have Mr. Holyoke, who's on this committee, is over at Lord's. And if you have relationships with them, I don't think it hurts to reach out and express that you're concerned about it.
Is there any value in looking at a collective statement or letter as opposed to an individual effort just to demonstrate the breadth of interested parties? Or is that, I mean, would not be received for?
I would want to ask the commissioners that question if they have a concern with it. I mean, for me, collective letters are always more powerful, I think, than individual, because you show that there's a united movement around a particular issue. And so when we're doing grants or we're lobbying for things in Olympia, yeah, we'll partner with the cities and we'll send a single letter from all of us. And so I think that has a good position. I just would not want to do something that the board wasn't comfortable with.
Is that, I mean, so I guess from my perspective, I'd love it if you let them know that we're willing to, that we would like to discuss that further if they'd be in support of
sure.
that to help.
Yep.
Absolutely. I just wonder, I guess, what the benefit of that would be, because I know that the city manager of Kennewick wrote one previously,
right.
no traction with that. So I'm just wondering if we're kind of spinning our wheels, if we need to better understand what is the roadblock, what's the barrier? Because it seems like that's the missing piece that we,
right.
we haven't gotten. It's a hard no, but why is it a hard no?
Right, and hopefully we'll get some information on that, but I'll have to remember the time frame in which Marie, was it before David was at Trios?
It was pre-David.
Right, right. So it may not be, I understand what you're saying, that
yeah.
they got the thing, and I know they're, Evelyn was on
yeah.
the board there, and she was going to express her concerns to
yes.
the board, and she has in the past.
Yeah,
and
she
so,
did.
But I mean, you have new players, yeah. so maybe it doesn't hurt to remind them that the community feels like this is a problem. It would also maybe be helpful if we had organizations that were not just limited to this group who are supporting this. Hey, this is something that we should not have to deal with. So if you have connections to those kind of people, it may be beneficial. I still think it would be beneficial. I just want to make sure the commissioners are comfortable with that. I don't foresee that they wouldn't be, but I would hate to have a letter go to them and they go, wait a minute, what the heck happened here? So.
If I could, Lee, I know you were pretty heavily involved in the negotiations and the conversations that were had around this from the beginning. Do you recall what their reasoning was for initially putting that language in there?
Originally, it was concern on a local basis for competition, but that concern has, I think, alleviated.
Yeah.
Personalities are gone. I think the thing right now is just finding exactly what their specific concerns are, so we can address the contractual.
And yeah, that's kind of what I remember too from when these conversations started some years ago. It was infringing on something that they were already doing, but it sounds like we've fully alleviated that with our current offer. So I'm just curious as to what it is now or what it's turned into now.
Yeah, I mean, just me, and I don't work in that world, but if someone said, hey, we'll take anybody you don't want, you basically, we're your screening service, and you can pick and choose, why would you not take that?
It's kind of a no-brainer to me, but obviously there's more going on under the water than any of us know.
Agreed. Any other questions?
All right. Looks like we got the timeline.
That was this, I kind of pulled those two, Paul, I pulled those two into.
And then,
June, okay, so Kyle and I had a call, what was it, about 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah.
We were contacted by a lady who represents June Therapy, and June is a, they have several other, it's an app, and they do various things, they do calendar, you know, time management and stuff like that, but they apparently also have a mental health program that they operate. In this case, they focus on youth, so ages 13 to 26 is who they, their target service audience is. It's all online-based, they do have access to online therapy, they have different app games and things like that to engage between sessions. But they were what they were offering was a, if we were interested in a pilot program, and it sounds like there is, they would fund a pilot, they have a grant to do that, so they would fund a pilot for some a certain period of time. I think the pilot is limited to ages 13 to 21 because of their grant requirements, but if you were funding it yourself, you could open that and get that age group up a little more. And so I just wanted to see, it seemed very interesting to us, that it may be something that wouldn't be horribly expensive. They do accept insurance and those kind of things. And so it was, I just wanted to see if this group would like us to schedule a time for, and I cannot remember her name. I want to say it was Tracy.
And last name was Stride.
Right.
I don't remember what her first name was.
And so she would be willing to come, and maybe not come in person, but do a virtual presentation to this group to say, hey, here's what we do, here's what it is. And we may be able to have a pilot program for that. I can't remember if it was 6 months or something like that, where it could have essentially cost nothing to have that. And so I sent something, Kelly sent me something, and it sounds like the schools have something.
You're going to recap a little bit?
Right.
So we had some discussion about what the need was from an assessment perspective. And one of the things that we were obviously concerned with our health use survey data and the and our issues locally with kids being able to access care. I mean, care, all of us have had those conversations pretty broadly. One of the bigger concerns is that the funding, the COVID-specific funding that the school districts have received is leaving, right? And we already know that the subcontracts with Comprehensive and some of the other providers from Canada School District have dried up. And so while school districts did use some of that fund, those funds to help increase access to mental health services for youth in school, that money's drying up. And so while we can't say last year there was a significant, such a tremendous delta in access to services to this age population, we have to be ready to see what's happening the next 3 years as those services decrease. So I know, you know, some of our mental health providers can probably speak a little better to that, but as far as data and access, it's a significant issue. We'll be addressing some of those at the State of Our Youth Forum at the end of this month, where we're showing the data from the Health Youth Savior for our community, but also, service gaps are going to increase.
So I know I had a conversation with Gordon, and he was talking about the schools already use a web-based. Is that program funded with COVID dollars also?
We reached out. It was originally. I think some of the districts have found funding. I'm trying to, is it Libby? What's the name of that service? Anyway, Pass School started with it, and I believe Richland picked up the same one, right? And then Kennewick had not at the time.
Correct.
Have they since? Do you know where?
No.
I don't think they have either. It was originally funded with COVID dollars, and we did put a ask out to see if there was risk of if they had reallocated funds from other budget purposes to cover those or not. So I don't have an answer to that yet.
Okay. Would it also be worth inquiring if the districts that participated, what utilization looked like? I'd be very curious to know, if was that used 10 times or was it used 10,000 times? I couldn't tell you.
And, you know, one of the other concerns when we look at data is the absentee rates, especially in our community, are significant. And so a lot of times kids aren't showing up at school because they are struggling to make it there for a variety of reasons, including behavioral health, and if they don't know about these resources, those most at-risk kids aren't going to be utilizing the school-based resources either.
Sure. We did, and I'll call her Tracy for lack of not knowing her first name.
We apologize for the record.
She connected us also with a gentleman from the city of Seattle who did a pilot program, and he is willing to come, or at least talk to us about how their pilot program went. So that might give us a little more insight, at least on that side of the state, what kind of uptake did they have for such a program. So, if it's of interest, I can make the arrangements and have them come and present at an upcoming meeting. Or
just real quickly, I think you know, Kyle had a conversation. I think the difference between this and Hazel Health, I'm not an expert on Hazel Health, but the Hazel Health is K through 12. This potentially is, you know, 13 through 26. And I know, I think it was last year or the year before, I had conversations with the Richmond School District because there was a couple tragic events where youth who had recently graduated from Richmond High died by suicide. And so it would be kind of cool to be able to start something, have that available, and then once you leave school, have it follow you wherever you are through that transition period. So that would be one of the advantages.
And an additional resource where we could link that into the 988 system, where if kids are calling for a crisis, then they can be linked back to local resources to support them.
That, I mean, she did say if we're using our own dollars, we can tailor the age group to whatever we want within that range. So if you wanted to say, hey, we only want to pick up the last tail end of high school to 20, so we can do that. So it's flexible in that way. But if we're doing the pilot, they do it, their grant says it's 13 to 21.
To 21.
Oh. Yeah. So you would still capture a couple of years after, but yeah, 26. Their program services 13 to 26, but the grant has a restriction that it can't go past age 21. The grant they use to do the pilot
services.
Yeah. So the pilot would only be 13 to 21. If we elected to go and have the service beyond the pilot, we could say no, we want to go all the way to 26, and that would be okay.
I would love to hear more about it.
It's no risk.
Yeah. Especially if we just go with the pilot. It sounds like it'd be very low cost.
And that might help answer a lot of your questions too. If they're willing to front it, we can have it in place to see what kind of uptake we get in our community.
And that age range, well, obviously still significantly lower than our 65 plus and 35 to 64, those are the highest age ranges of fatalities for suicide. It is rising almost as quickly as the 65 plus in that younger 20s demographic.
I will reach out to Tracy, whoever it actually is, and arrange for that. And I'll also contact the gentleman from Seattle and see if maybe the same meeting he could come and talk to us about their specific experience.
Okay. All right. Any update from the Substance Use Disorder Subcommittee?
Not that I'm aware of. I was up for a couple of months, so I don't know.
Mental health subcommittee. Nope.
We do have an update.
Oh, yes. You do have an update. All right.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we received an RFP back from Comprehensive for the field response teams. A lot of really good information in it. We have a meeting that we have set for tomorrow to do some follow-up questions and comments with them. So what we'd like to do is bring back to the group what our recommendation would be after that meeting.
Communications subcommittee. John, do you have anything?
I did do the media day with Glenn's fantastic facilitation and coordination. I think that there was I only saw one of the TV spots. I don't know if the other one is run, but also on KONA radio. And, you know, just to reiterate what others have said, that if you get a chance to do that, it's really easy. and I think worthwhile. So I got, you know, feedback from, it always surprises me when I do something like that, how many people contact me out of the blue saying, I saw your spot. And I'm just like, wow, people do really still watch the local news. That's, it's good to know that that's an outlet. So it's worth doing.
And BJ, if I may add, sorry for breaking the protocol. BJ is going to be on the radio this coming Wednesday. He's going to be promoting mental health month, which is the month of May. So I know he's humble, he wouldn't brag about it, but everybody tune in to this meeting.
Thank you.
Did you get an email about the other stuff happening?
I don't know if I saw it. I think
it was yesterday.
So one other item, we're looking at domain names for recovery center. So we'll update as we have a chance to move forward with that.
If I could break protocol again, as Glenn would say, I got an email from a lady who is a graphics artist. She has a graphic arts company. She was interested, and I know we've talked about having some branding and some artwork done. So what I'll probably do is respond to her and refer her to the communications committee, if that's okay.
Yeah. Any other items on that? Kind of. All right, behavioral health workforce.
Yeah, PJ, I'm not on that committee, but I do have an update on
yes.
that. So the substance use disorder program that we were talking about, CBC, starting is official. It will be starting. It will start on September 16th, and that first quarter will go through December 5th. The classes, the first two that will be offered are Foundations of Addiction and Substance Use Disorders, and then Treatment Methods and Counseling Techniques. They will be taking both new students and also have a fast track program for individuals who either already are licensed and have a master's degree or PCR. So that will start. It'll be Monday through Thursday, 4 p.m. to 6:40 p.m. Hopefully take all the way up to 80 if they need to, and that would probably warrant a full-time staff. We met with the Yakima program, and that's how much they have, and so CDC was psyched if they could get that much. So it sounds like it's up and running and done deal and ready to go.
So anybody that lets us know that they're interested, they just contact CDC?
Yep, and they can enroll either in the official program or they can take some of those classes as electives as well.
Might that be another joint effort that we can do on one of the interview shows where we're cross-promoting CBC's new program by saying we need it for this purpose?
Sounds like Cameron knows about it. Maybe he needs to be on call.
Retired from my public.
All right, any other updates? Okay, moving on to public comment. This is an opportunity to address the committee. Does anybody have anything they'd like to ask or address to the committee? All right. Any other business? Yes, Michelle.
As part of Mental Health Awareness Month, Cadillac is sponsoring me giving a talk on addiction Wednesday night at 15:00.
I'll add an additional announcement. So I'm sharing with Glenn. Hopefully they can come out. The Behavioral Health Committee, not the advisory committee, the local Behavioral Health Committee is doing their Mental Health Promotion Month content. Again, we'll be bringing a resolution before the Board of Health. Lots of other events this month. It's time for Dust Devils to do some promotion and awareness events. And then on the 23rd of the month, the Health District and Key Connection is working to do a State of Our Youth presentation. Registration is open until the 15th, and we can send a flyer out if there's of interest, and it will be at the Convention Center.
And I wanted to mention, I was contacted by the Executive Director of St. Vincent de Paul, which is clothing and food shelter in Pasco. They have on Wednesdays, it's a mobile unit urgent care, huge van that is, it's staffed by a doctor, and they're doing it with Cadillac and also with WSU students, and it is open to really anyone, whether you're insured, non-insured, or unable to be insured. You can just go on their website if you need more information, but it's open from 1 to 4. Many times it lasts till 5 o'clock, but they're open to anybody.
Is that medical or is that dental?
It's medical, and they're also putting an emphasis on mental health, too.
It's the range band?
Yes.
Only other thing I wanted to bring up was the sobering center. So Lourdes came before us yesterday during our workshop session, and they were pitching us to put their sobering center into a building adjacent to the Franklin County Courthouse. So they have submitted to us a preliminary budget. Their presentation was quite extensive. I know we've got some Lourdes personnel here today. I talked a little bit to Matt about it, but certainly wanted to gauge the temperature of this room to see. I think there's a couple of issues on the floor. You know, does Franklin County cover all the costs with our mental health tax? I was surprised there was more consensus for us to go at it alone than I thought there might be. Certainly we'd love to help, but I do feel like there was some real interest to go at it by ourselves. I think the other issue this creates is we have KGH, which is 18 months away, and you know there's a fear of duplicating services at some point, and what Lourdes expressed to us, and I'll give them the floor here in a second, is they perhaps would keep that in place while there are services at KGH. So is that needed, and who would support that once that funding mechanism may not be there with the mental health tax? So it raised a lot of good questions, and I've talked to the city manager, and I've talked to various personnel in law enforcement with PASCO. There seems to be, you know, I wouldn't say like resistance, but questions, you know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things kind of on the PASCO side that need to be answered. I think fundamentally our board thought the help is definitely needed, and we have this time in between, because we don't know if KGH, you know, development goes, could be 3 years, and then the taxpayers are going, so you're creating this bucket of money, you've got $7 million, you haven't done anything. So I'm starting to hear that a little bit from constituents, to be quite honest with you, when I'm on the street, like, what are y'all doing with the money? And I see homeless on the street, I see people drug addicted, and I'm also hearing from law enforcement kind of, you know, off the record, y'all need to do something because, you know, we're taking them to the Franklin County Jail, and we've had some incidents that y'all read the paper too, that people wind up there in jail, they're not properly serviced, and they wind up deceased. So these are all the questions on the floor. I mean, ultimately, it's do we do this now in the interim and take a shot at it, we invest in it, and will Benton County help us pay for half that or whatever? And maybe it's a proportional share on our side. We kind of owe you guys, right? On that thing. But anyway, so that's a long way to kind of open the floor. But
can you clarify? Sorry, you said kind of go it. There was a sentiment expressed, maybe kind of go it alone. Just kind of do it as. Right. As you say that, is that, are you meaning that as a Franklin County funded
right.
project or Benton County folks don't come
so
over on the side.
So there was sentiment. There really was sentiment for us to go at it alone, perhaps.
Right, but can you clarify what that means, please?
I would say fully fund the operation.
So fully fund it, but if we have an individual that is in need of those services in Benton County, those services would still be provided.
Absolutely. So.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And I know. We have a law and justice committee that has all the law enforcement agencies in Benton County. Various other groups that meets monthly on Wednesdays. In fact, we met yesterday, and I had asked them, I said, you know, if there were a sobering center over in Franklin County, is that something that your staff would utilize? And unanimously, they all said yes, that they would utilize that, and then decide if they needed to continue to utilize that after the recovery center opened. And so, there's support at least on the law enforcement side of being able to have access to that. I would assume. Fire EMS probably in the same position. So, I mean, I think
Mike, you and I have talked, and, you know, I think in that instance, Benton County's definitely willing to support what, you know, a share of the operational costs. And we're not in a position to support the if there were construction costs involved, our dollars are tied up in,
right,
in the recovery center. I think we would want to make sure that we didn't put any of us in a position where somebody could say one county's benefiting the other. So, I mean,
right,
if for nothing else, I appreciate that you guys are willing to do that, but if for nothing else, we don't want to get either of us in trouble with an auditor, so.
So, Mike, is this the original, is it the same location that was originally proposed?
I couldn't tell you, Jason, for a fact. It would be, if you're familiar with where the courthouse is, along Margaret, I should know that street, I drive it every day. It's, yeah, 4th and Margaret, and it's the building adjacent to us that used to be dental offices, all sorts of things in there, but it's been vacant for quite a while. And so it seems like a perfect fit for it. It's close proximity to the jail, obviously, and the courthouse. The one bit of feedback we got from commissioners, we get a lot of employees that's the direct out accessing in, so there was concern because it's not a secure facility, people can sort of come and go. But I mean, there's a lot of folks that are kind of walking around that area, so I mean, I think our, not to say, you know, our employees are used to it, but they, I think they know how to handle themselves for the most part. So anyway, again, it's right adjacent to it, so the proximity is perfect for the jail.
And I'm assuming the fire department, the planning department and all that has looked at it, and there's nothing that's insurmountable or
they are looking
cost a great deal of money to prevent that?
And I have exchanged emails with the planning director, Jacob Gonzalez, and the city manager, so we literally just had that email exchange a few days ago, because obviously there'll be some permitting issues and things of that nature.
So, if I can just add to some of that, thank you, Mike, just from the hospital board standpoint. We identify there definitely is a need within Tri-Cities, a need for a recovery center. And knowing that that is a ways out for those that are primary diagnosis of substance use disorder, then what can we do to assist? And so as a team, Mauricio, Nelly, and I sat down to see what could we do to help? And so a sobering center is something that we could do. And so yes, as Mike mentioned, it's located in between courthouse and the hospital, and a property that we already operate and be able to take on the costs of any construction that needs to be done, but it should be minimal. We've already done some walkthroughs. We would definitely do that ourselves before opening the facility. And these are sobering center is needed because, and you know, these individuals are there, and you know, we did talk about the safety there. Well, they're in the area anyhow, and whether they're in the park or have been brought in the ED and then leave against medical advice and walk out, they're in the vicinity anyhow. This would provide staffing to be able to help these individuals, and then we'd have security there as well. And the other thing that is really a driver here is how do we take care of these individuals? You know, they've got some mental health disorder, then being in jail is really not the best place. It does keep them safe at the moment, but can we connect them to resources in the community and truly feel that our team could be that resource to connect them to other resources throughout the community? And so we're willing to do this. It's going to be something that we're just trying to break even on. There's not going to be really any revenue associated with it. There's something to hopefully help these individuals and to help the safety and security as well.
I think, Mark, we've had some conversations about this, and they've been good. It's certainly needed. One of the things that we didn't hear last time, at least I didn't hear, was a medical screening component of it. That was a key part of it, to make sure you take the pressure off of the EMS system. So I hope that that's part of it. The other part of it was the transport. to the hospital. Somebody needs to go over there too, that the fire and EMS agencies wouldn't be that primary provider unless there was a critical medical need. So I'm hoping that's in your conversation.
Yes, and we still have a couple of things to tie up there to be able to give you a clear, distinct answer. But yes, that's definitely in the conversations and in our workup with this.
The other comment, Mike, I guess that I had too, is it's unfortunate you're getting some pressure, and I understand that, but that's real when you got money amassing. But what I've been sharing with the department head team in Kennewick is the dam is getting ready to break. As soon as you break ground with this building, we're going to spend a lot of money. That I think is we're going to see a lot of those dollars disappear very quickly. So I'm hoping that's getting communicated out with the community also, that there's a big body of work that's happened over the last 2 years, and money's going to start flowing.
And that's something I know our commissioners are communicating. I think we could do a better job of that, you know, just in general, that it's coming. So yeah, it's that juxtaposition of, look, we have this massive facility coming, and what's the short term? You know, so it's a really tough issue to deal with.
Sure.
But I think that's good advice to commune. And that's something we need to really start doing as it comes closer to fruition. I know Chief Crowley wants to jump in a little bit and say a few words. Unless I'm putting you on the spot.
Sequencing here, right?
Yeah, you know, so it's my old broadcaster of segue.
Yeah, I guess one of the things is, I know you asked about budget, so I thought this came to the committee before, and there was like somewhere around $630,000,
right.
And then it came back saying they needed more money for additional services. And wasn't quite sure that's the sticking point. I'm kind of confused on the money situation. And then I know from Bend County, you mentioned helping with operational costs, but it would kind of be nice to know if that's increasing because you need more staff with security, so that can increase operational costs. And is that going to be ongoing needs for operational costs, or is that a one time?
And that's something there has been a couple of documents that I've been doing, one with that 630, then a little bit. I know Mauricio, I don't know if Ellie's here, weigh in a little bit on the budgeting elements, because I know it depends on level of staffing and the services.
Can I ask a point of clarification before you do that?
Sure.
Are the commissioners asking for something from this committee? Are you needing something from this committee to go back to the commissioners with?
Yeah, the ask is more like, because I value this group's opinion, like, collectively. So it's, if there's a resounding, nah, let's wait, you know, okay. This is something we should wait on, even in the short term.
Okay.
You know, so I wanted to gauge the temperature of this group, because I feel like this group has a lot of insight and value to it. So before we did anything, I felt like it would be the right thing to do to run it by this group. And what I'm hearing is there's support for it, but also caution on let's not spend all the money before, you know, the house is built.
So I think one thing from my recollection was when the subcommittee talked about this was the fact that this is going to be kind of a stopgap, because with the main project being built and having this, and then it was told that it'd be a quick turnaround of the build, and then now we fast forward to today. So I'd be curious to see what the timelines would be, if they'd be equal to what we have on Bend County, or if this open center could be stood up a lot quicker, and what that benefit would be.
And what did you say, Mauricio, about 6 months you could have
a next step? Yeah, everything's going to depend on the Department of Health licensing. That's the main thing for us, and see what is the city codes for the building. Because that's the main thing. But the licensing is the most important piece. The department says that if they are going to be there in 3 months.
So you still need to go to the Department of Health and licensing?
Mm-hmm. But it's going to be different license. It's not going to be a residential facility. It's a branch. It's just an extension.
The licensing question brings my question to mind, which is, as I understand it, you have to have certain criteria. It can't just be you're a problem person, or you're disrupting something, or you're homeless. It's got to be a specific SUD need. Is that and not mental health, or drugs but not alcohol, or one or the other? That's because people come to our coalition all the time and say, are you going to solve the homeless crisis? Well, no. We've just got a slice of that. So I'd like to know exactly who's going to be welcomed in the center.
Well, this is a sovereign center. So basically, somebody who is coming up for any alcohol or drugs, basically. And obviously, as we know, people who are using alcohol or drugs also has a problem with sober. So, but the main criteria is going to be somebody who is on the influence of drugs or alcohol.
Drugs and alcohol.
And it's if I understand how the sobering center idea works, it's not more than 24 hours. So it's they're not even. You can't technically even say they're staying the night. You know, it's when,
correct.
They might show up at 8 o'clock and be there all night. But yeah.
There is an up to 23-hour stay.
Yeah.
So most of these patients currently are either taken to the jail. They're sitting in ERs throughout our region. And then after they've sobered up, discharged. And so this would hopefully provide additional resources than what they're receiving currently.
Does somebody want to, Kevin, do you want to make a motion for the committee to make a recommendation? Would you like to make a motion on that?
Recommendation for?
Huh?
Sorry. I'm kind of confused on where we're at right now.
So Mike needs from the committee some guidance on where this committee stands on them pursuing that.
I think for me, before I would make a motion, I like to see like maybe best case scenario like timeline. So if we got the licensing and then we got projected build or submitting for plan build, and kind of see that timeline. And then I'd like to see how that marries up with the recovery center. Because to me, if they're going to be like open up at the same time, I'd also like to see our money being pulled into the recovery center.
So
before I made a motion.
Yeah. So Mike, if we table this until next month, is the commissioner's going to?
No, I don't think so. They may make a decision on their own in between that time.
I think you've gotten some sentiment.
No, I'm feeling like that. So. I think I have a good. And that was kind of my goal, to get a feel.
Yeah.
If it was just a resounding, no, that's a dumb idea. But I feel like there's a need and the timing. I mean, I think there's some elements that need to, because yeah, to your point, Chief, if it all coincides at one time, that probably doesn't make sense. But if we can open that shop, Mark, you know, as quickly, 3 to 6 months, then that makes sense. So.
I do believe we had, a few months ago that this committee was in favor of it. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if we need another motion for it, but I thought we showed the favor of doing that.
Sure.
Without the 6 or 8 months.
Yeah. Right. So I still think, I mean, unless it's changed, I think we still show
us. Was there any talk about the timeline in the workshop?
I don't remember.
Well, it can be like 6 months, depending on the licensing. We don't control that. That's the Department of Health, the availability. And also, what the things that happen in the construction piece. But the building is there already.
I think, Kevin, the difference is when we were discussing it before, is whether it should be a recommendation from this committee to both commissioners of both counties. And we were at that point looking at RFPs and whatnot. Since the Franklin County Commissioners have moved forward to it, kind of changed things a bit. So
sure.
That's all right. I was getting at.
So I gotcha. And again, I think I still hold that position. Before I made a motion, I'd like to actually see final dollars and see the final proposal before I made a motion to support something.
Okay.
So we had also, the Substance Abuse Subcommittee had also recommended certain language to be included in the contract, and a big part of it, or some of it, was that we start the sobering center, but with the understanding that when the recovery center came on board, that we would look at that to see if the sobering services would be provided at the sobering center. But if the need was great enough to have it at both places, we would go to keep it both places. The other thing too is that once the recovery center comes on board, the levels of care that are being provided right now for like detox services are going away January 1st of 2025, and so sobering services, to my knowledge, is not going to change. So inpatient treatment agencies can provide
provide sobering services, but, I mean, detox services, but sobering services is still one that can still happen. So it seems like it would make sense to start providing that service as soon as possible.
Two questions. Mauricio, if we're the level of licensure for the behavioral health facility for a sobering center, do we know which classification the department
is? Branch. It's just an extension. It's not in
It's an extension of the hospital.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it's not an independent facility.
It's outpatient services.
And just for clarity, in this would be October of 2023, there was a formal motion made to move forward on this. So, I mean, I think that clarity has been provided in that October meeting, unless the circumstances change.
So my second part of my question was, what is the acceptable time frame for this group to be still really supportive of that process now that we're 6 months later? If they were up and ready to go in December or January, that gives a full year of support before we might have that support available in Kennewick. So if it opens within 3 months of Kennewick, we're not supportive? Is, you know, just kind of, what's our range of comfort level with?
Well, to me, if they both open in 2025, even if it's January to December, it's still too close. To me, it's a waste to have both. That's my opinion.
I do have a question. Maybe Mark or Lucio can answer that. During the presentation yesterday, there was mention of pre-arrest diversion or jail diversion. Was the intention of doing that at this facility, at the sobering center, or were we utilizing transitions for that? What was the...
Well, the most important what is the sobering center is a way to divert people from jail, intoxicated from going to jail. If they want to use that as a jail diversion, that used to be a transition, because we are not at the process, but it can be done as well. We can figure it out how to put the place to different level.
I just think it's important to clarify for everybody that the sobering center does not count on RCW as a jail.
Exactly.
Program.
It's a subject that's not different. It's sort of different. Totally different. It's, yeah. It's not like it's going to be like a case number and things like that. It's totally different.
That's an excellent question, Cameron, and good for the entire group to know. Because, yes, someone that is arrested for something like that transitions would be disbarred. This would be someone that's law enforcement has responded to and decided not to arrest, but they still need to be taken somewhere. So, yeah, there would not be an arrest involved in this.
No, also, Mark, my understanding, isn't there a referral opportunity coming out of the sobering center? If that person wants services, you guys can direct them also to whatever you have available.
Correct. Okay. Yes. Direct them to services that either we have available or that we are aware of throughout the communities to get the services they need.
I think the timeline element is critical here. We have to know what the timeline cost, obviously,
the
timeline has
got to
be answered.
Well, I'll work with, I'll continue to work with Mauricio on the timeline, and I'll work with Matt the messaging so you guys are in the loop. And if the time doesn't work out, you obviously don't want to have multiple services doing the same thing.
I guess the caution I would share is I think if we continue to try to have all the information before we move forward, it's going to take so long to get all the information, we're never going to move forward, and then it becomes a piece. Even if it's 3 months. Now, financially, this is a different conversation contractually for you, whether you want to embark in a short-term contract. But take all that out of the equation. If it's 3 months or 3 years of gap services, it's still a meaningful service.
Right.
And so I guess I'm less concerned about meeting the timeline to say, let's go. In October, we said, let's go. I still feel like there's a desire to say, let's go. So let's go.
Yeah. Brian, I'm with you. And I think that was the sentiment of the board was, let's do something in the short term. And, you know, let's see what happens. And Lord's is kind of taking the risk of, do we go Because they know the funding is going to come from us, and there's no guarantees they'll continue. So, you know, we're right in front of the courthouse. I see it every day. I mean, we see the need, not the pontificate or anything, but we see it all downtown Pasco, where we are, and you know, we just go, gosh, we got to do something. It's not like advocating for it, which, you know, I don't want to, I'm trying to stay neutral as a county administrator, but the need is so great. Question, like, why aren't you doing anything? And that message of, well, we're waiting for the castle to be built, or, you know, and there's no guarantees that that's going to be built on time. So, you know, I mean, I think, and I don't know if they have any structural guarantees, like it's going to be built on this date for sure, but we all know how construction is. More than likely, it's not going to be built on time.
The might be thinking, Brian, I agree with you. I mean, he said, let's go. I think the big thing that I'm a little hesitant with is because it's changed. I think the scope has changed and the price tag has changed. So that's my only hesitation there, is saying, before we say yes, is there, this is the plan. Because, and I think it's great that you're starting to realize this is what we need to make it, is the scope is expanded. That's my only hesitation. And not to say stop, but just say, what's the final ending point? What is, so we can all actually make a decision on.
And I think that's an appropriate caution. I guess my understanding of our charter is to make recommendations to the county commissioners.
Sure.
So I guess my recommendation would be, let's go. And if the county commissioners determine who can operate more efficiently in theory than this group, that it doesn't work financially, that's on the county commissioners. But from a recommendation perspective of, is this a meaningful service that the 0.1% should be utilized for? What I continue to hear from law enforcement, fire, EMS, you know, so on and so forth, is yes. So I think our charter is to make that recommendation, which we have, and I if there's value in reaffirming, we can. It then becomes up to the county commissioners whether they act on it, because this is, at the end of the day, an advisory group.
So Mark, just so I'm clear, the LifePoint / Lords is going to burden the cost of the remodeling and repair. The rising cost is to expand the scope for administrative costs?
So really, be totally transparent, the reason for the rising cost is we did a really quick pencil and paper earlier, really did not take into full account of the staffing costs and also security. And so that's the delta. So it was about $680 was the original, and now it's right around $1 million. Staffing costs are, and the recruitment of getting the staff in is really what's caused the operational increase.
So Brian, to your question, I do think there is a benefit to affirming the past recommendation. Simply because if we don't do anything by a motion, technically this committee hasn't done anything. So I want to empower Mike to go back to his commissioners and say that we have made a recommendation.
I would make the motion, but that would suffice.
You can't make a motion.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm glad to make a motion. I guess I would say, recommend to the county commissioners of both counties, well, I guess it'd be Franklin that would enter the contract. So make a recommendation to county commissioners to enter into a contract with Lords for sobering services at the new identified location for a period of time that makes sense to both parties.
Second.
It's been moved and second. Any discussion?
Yes. What is the difference between this motion and what was passed back in October?
Nothing.
We're reaffirming that.
And
the circumstances certainly have changed, Jason. That before it was whoever was going to be doing that was going to be coming to the committee making a presentation, and we were going to make a recommendation based on that. The commissioner, Franklin County commissioners, have moved ahead and entered into negotiations with Lourdes. So Mike is asking us today if we're still in agreement with that. So essentially that's what the reaffirming is what we're doing.
So just one discussion point, and that is, do we need to put in our motion both Franklin and Benton County, or is that between, you know, Mike and Matt to discuss?
Where we left it in October was that the motion was to move forward with the Sobering Center, Franklin County, Lourdes, and then you guys would work on an interlocal agreement for funding operationally.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
So was that motion that was made for, did that include the RFP and the cost? Did we adopt the, that was presented?
I'm not seeing that in the notes. The exact motion as worded in the minutes from before was to recommend to the county commissioners to enter a contract with Lourdes for a period of 1 year to provide sobering services at the Margaret Street location in Pasco in the interim. That was the formal recommendation.
If my memory serves me correct, it was with the original dollar amount that was submitted, around the 600, because I think the talks of the additional funds to stand up the program, if I remember correctly, didn't happen until after that vote.
So that's going to be me. I mean, I will us for discussion purposes. How do you catch up?
No, yeah.
I'm going to vote no on it. Just in the period back that before we supported it, I believe that service is needed, but I still feel as a committee we need to recommend something to the commissioners, the full package, saying we support it at this cost and provide this service. So I'd be more comfortable voting yes if we had that. But before we had a presentation, we knew the cost, we knew the services. Now it's almost double the cost, and I'm still not quite sure if I know exactly what's needed.
And for me personally, that's where I am as well.
Any other discussion, for or against?
I was thinking that's I think if we move it forward conceptually, like what Ryan was saying, yes, but with the understanding the commissioners would have to understand, this group said we believe in the service, but we don't have any idea of a fleshed out plan.
And I will say that's all I need, because, and I was trying to gauge the sentiment. I can work on the budgeting elements with Mark and kind of figure that element out. Because I agree that's an important part of it. But I was just glad that I'm happy to hear everybody's still in favor, you know, as originally was planned. And it's just really those other elements that we'll figure out. And I think, again, like most people said, it's on the commissioners that they decide to do it with 1 day before KGH is opening. I guess that's a decision they'll have to make, you know. But there's definitely the desire to have something.
Any other discussion on the motion?
Do you want me to rescind the motion then, based on the October motion? It sounds like we don't maybe want to go to vote on this. We let the October ride, and you've got the sentiment and temperature.
I've got the sentiment, and that's all I need to guys.
I have no clue what rescinding the motion means.
Sounds good.
It does sound good, but I really don't know if that's accurate.
I think
can I withdraw my? Carla says I can withdraw my motion.
Robert's rules will allow it.
There you go. I learned something new.
Any other business?
PJ, I've got just one other thing, and definitely don't want this to be a Lord's meeting, but just feel that it's important to let this group know. We've already rolled this out with our employees that Lourdes Counseling Center would now be known as Lourdes Behavioral Health. As I'm new to the community and I'm out and about in the community, several individuals did not, and clinics and so forth, not even aware that we do inpatient behavioral health admissions and treatments. So it is so much, so the name Lourdes Counseling Center is misleading. It's a counseling center, but so much more. So I think it's just important that you all know before the public knows. We'll be rolling this out over the next couple of months. The official, as of 3 days ago, Lourdes Behavioral Health.
Okay.
And Mark, if you would, will you continue to have conversations with your powers at BZ? You were here for this part of the conversation. I'm not sure if you're aware or not, a proposal was made to LifePoint Lords to give them first right of refusal for any patient that would come in for the mental health stabilization. And for whatever reason, the powers of be decided that they didn't want to change that language. My memory serves me correct, and I chatted with Lee as well, that was a huge sticking point, was they didn't want to have it viewed as competition or anything along those lines. But for me personally, it's just disappointing. I would hope that conversations can continue to be had, and then hopefully we can find a way to work together in the same.
And I believe that there are conversations going on right now, legal department and the powers that be.
Good, yeah.
And I know the language of putting some language in a first right refusal is something that I do not believe LifePoint would ever do. And the reason is because then it could be perceived as paying for referrals. So very much a compliance driven company. And so we'll always make sure they're following the laws. So I know they steer away from that. And that's not just specific to this. That's throughout the organization.
So we just need to come up with a different way to word it.
I think that's my take is we need to come up with what wording is necessary to be able to allow for a primary diagnosis of substance use disorder in patient arena.
I think the concern though centers around not necessarily that, because I think that's allowed at the facility. I think the concern centers around the people with that are maybe duly diagnosed or that maybe just have a primary mental health diagnosis that for whatever reason can be admitted to Lourdes, but maybe need more than 3 days. So I think that's, if there's any concern about the SUD part of it, because I think that's the reduced restriction allows for that. The concern centered around those other people that we need to have options for.
All right, any other business? All right, no objection, we will adjourn.